So most of you know that I'm a pretty big sports fan. If you don't know that, I'm a pretty big sports fan. I'm the guy who watches the Super Bowl for the Super Bowl. Doesn't matter what teams are in. I don't watch for the commercials. In fact, I'm kind of that fan that doesn't care about commercials whatsoever, really probably doesn't pay attention to the commercials during the game. I'm focused on the game, and then, you know, when the game's not going on, I'm focused on something else, except for yesterday. I don't know if it started because the game was just atrocious. I think that had something to do with it. Two top 10 football teams in the NCAA shouldn't be that bad, but be that as it may. I was watching the game, and all of a sudden, the best thing about that game was a commercial. The commercial started with the picture of a screen. So on the screen on my wall was a screen. Took up the entire screen. And someone texted the words, "I am famished. Send." Then the picture moved to another screen. And on that other screen, the text came through and they replied, "Oh, I'm super hungry too. Send." And then the screen had a third screen. And on that third screen, it had both the previous texts. And it said, "You know what I'm thinking? Send." And then there was on my screen a fourth screen. And that fourth screen had the three previous texts on it. And that person said, "Well, I think it means we're going to go to," and he says the name of the location, "they're going to go get lunch, send." And then the camera pans out wide and reveals that the four guys texting each other about going to get lunch, you know what it is, are all sitting on the couch together. At first, I did the same thing. I just laughed. Thought, "Oh, that's hilarious." And then I thought, "That's horrific." Right? And we live in a very connected world. That much is true. This is the connected generation. At our fingertips, immediately, we know about momentous events that will shape human history. And we also know about the mundane stuff of people's daily, don't we? I mean, at least I can say I do not believe any of my children have ever sat in the same room with me and texted me about getting something to eat. They have, however, all of them sent me a picture at some point about what they're eating. Like, someone really needs that. And yet, I will confess, just the other week, Connie and I were out on a date. We had some beautiful adult beverages and a wonderful charcuterie plate. And before we started to dig in, we said, "Oh, let's take a picture and send it to Katie." Now, when we were their age, when we were the age of our adult children, we were married, we were newlyweds. And the last thing we ever would have done was contact our parents to tell them what we were eating. Now, there's a reason. Those of you who are, you know, 35 and younger, these things haven't always existed. It really actually wasn't even an option. You couldn't take a picture and send it immediately anyways because you had to run and get the film developed, and well, that's a whole different story. But anyways, we never would have done that. In fact, back then, we didn't have immediate and constant communication with our parents. We talked to them once a week, the one day a week, when the long distance rates were low. That's right. For those of you who are young, there was a time when you actually had a call from a phone that was plugged into a wall, and they charged you more the further away the person was that you were calling. So in some respects, it was kind of appalling to watch four guys texting each other in the same room. Man, we live in a connected world. And yet, many experts tell us that people are lonelier than ever. That a lot of people feel disconnected, adrift, untethered from everyone and anything. One of the things that we've said here at Bethany is going to bind us together is a commitment not simply to have a renaissance of our property, but to have a renaissance in each of us personally. And not just to renew sacred spaces, but to renew souls. We've committed one to another, have we not, to have a renaissance of our hearts. And I believe that really begins with connection. Your God has connected to you. Our God has connected to us intimately, sharing the human experience. He's connected to us globally, universally. One of us, our human brother, in order to be our Savior, Jesus has connected to us. Jesus shares the human experience. Jesus knew what it was like to be hungry. And he knew what it was like to be happy. He knew what it was like to be cold and lonely. And he knew what it was to have a warm welcome. Jesus has entered the human experience. God in Christ has entered the human experience. Jesus knew what it was to be cherished, the babe, the son of Mary. And he knew what it was to be cheered, hail Hosanna, the son of David. He knew what it was to be belittled by his brothers. No one who wants to be a public figure stays in the shadows. Come on, Jesus, why don't you get out there into the festival and reveal yourself? He knew what it was to be belittled by his brothers and to be betrayed by his friends. Judas, is it with a kiss? In Christ, God has shared our human experience. He knew what it was to be filled with compassion. Dear woman, has no one condemned you? Then neither do I. And he knew what it was to be filled with righteous indignation. How dare you turn this house into a den of robbers? In Christ, God has shared the human experience. He knew what it was to be surrounded with buddies and friends, to the extent that one of them even became known as the one whom he loved. And he loved another so much that we found him by the grave weeping, even while he told the dead man's sister that he himself, Jesus, was the resurrection and the life, and that Lazarus would live again. Jesus has shared the human experience. He faced temptation. Turn these stones to bread. Jump off this pinnacle. See if God keeps his promises. Better yet, bow down and worship me, and I'll make your dreams come true. He faced temptation, yet without sin. He received adulation. You know, in Jesus' lifetime, there were no participation trophies. And so when the people said he does all things well, rest assured, he did all things well. He received adulation. Adulation to the point that once it almost turned to revolution. The crowds, having eaten their fill, said, hey, let's make him king by force. He faced opposition. They spread fake news about him. He's possessed by a demon, they said. They plotted against him. Don't you know it's better that he die than all of us perish? They mocked him. Come down, then we will believe in you. In Christ, God has experienced all that you and I experience. He has experienced the human condition. By the incarnation of our Lord, he is connected to humanity. And when the Spirit does his work, gives us the gift of faith, our God connects to us personally. Your God has connected to you personally. And this morning we're starting a series we're going to be going through for several months. First, we're going to be going through the Bethany blueprint, looking at how those five things, worshiping faithfully, forming spiritually, serving passionately, sharing intentionally, giving proportionately, are all a part of a personal renaissance. But it starts with connection. And so over the next couple weeks, we're going to be talking about connecting deeply to God, connecting to Him in His Word, connecting to His world, His will, and His work. Now, connecting deeply is not just the start of our series on a personal renaissance. It is the start, but it's not simply the start of our series. It's the end words of Jesus' earthly ministry. This isn't just the first thing that we're talking about. This is the last thing that Jesus prays about. Before he goes to heaven, before he returns home, he's gathered his disciples together and he is praying and he prays. If you have your Bible open, John 17, I read it earlier. Let me read a few verses for you. Verse 20, my prayer, Father, is not for them alone. I pray also for those who believe in me through their message. I pray, Father, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us. Your name isn't listed there because there'd be too many names for John to write down, but you are being prayed for right there. Jesus is praying for you personally. And he prays that you might be one with God. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they be in us. Now, it is true that our Lord Jesus Christ is one with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Jesus is not talking one in person here, but one in essence, one true God in three persons. But Jesus isn't doing Trinitarian theology here, I do not believe. And the reason I don't believe that is simply this. He says, may they be in us just as I am in you and you are in me. And we do not become divine, but in Christ, the divine God became man and was yet divine. Jesus is not talking Trinitarian theology here. He's talking personal relationship here. He and his Father are one in will, in purpose, in mission. May they be in us, even as you are me and I am in you. May they be connected to us, O God, and may they be connected one to another. Verse 11. I will remain in this world no longer, Father, but they're still in the world. I'm coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me. Let me take a stop right there for a moment. That name has been given you. The Lord gave you that name when he connected his word to the water and made it yours personally in the gift of baptism. In that moment, your God connected to you deeply. He said, you are his. He is yours. He put that name on you. Dear Father, I am leaving this world. Protect them by the power of the name that you gave me so that they may be one as we are one. Jesus prays that we be one with him and that we would be one with one another. I don't know how many of you have ever said, it's a small Lutheran world. If you're not Lutheran, that's okay. There's still time. No, I'm just teasing. it's something we say in-house. I probably maybe because we're a small church, you know, nationally speaking. And so some people do say, you know, it's a small Lutheran world when they find all these church connections. They're kind of fun. We had a member here at Bethany who this week was going home to bury mom. And so we got together and we prayed for a bit. And then I said, well, where's mom at? You know, where was your home? And she said, oh, Pierce, Nebraska. And I said, really? That's where Connie's mom and dad grew up. And we chatted for a while, and her older sister and Connie's aunt were confirmed together at Zion Lutheran Church in Pierce, Nebraska. They went to Walther League together. They graduated high school together. And I said, man, it is a small Lutheran world. Truth is, it's just a small world. Just a small world. We are so interconnected. Just a small world. In fact, there's no degree of separation when you think about it. Everyone is someone for whom Jesus became one of us in his incarnation. Everyone is someone for whom Jesus became one of us, one with us, one for us. Everyone. Everyone you know. Everyone you don't know. Everyone you live by or pass by. Everyone you sit by, in the pew or on a plane. Everyone is someone for whom Jesus became one of us. Would you repeat that? Would you say that after me? Everyone is someone for whom Jesus became one of us. Jesus took on flesh for us. He took on the obligation of fulfilling God's law perfectly, completely, wholly, in purity he lived. Never once transgressing. No gossip, no greed, no lusting, no lying. Never did he falter or fail. How about you? Like, it's not just those, it's the big commandment, the first one, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. That's another way of saying connect deeply to God, and how miserably I fail at that. There's a little book on the coffee table in my office. It's called Letters to God from Kids. And it's just a book of little letters. Most of them are just kind of silly. You get a little chuckle out of it, like, you know, hey, God, is your name really Howard? And you kind of scratch your head, and then it gives you a little notation. The kid had just learned the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, Howard be thy name. You know, so I just kind of silly little stuff like that, you know. There's always one that stops me cold in my tracks. It's written from a pastor's kid. And it says, dear God, is my daddy your friend? Or do you just know him on business? You laugh, I don't. I'll tell you what, my fellow church workers, there are a few of you out here, my fellow church workers, a few of you back here, my fellow church workers, for the times that Jesus has been more business than breath, for the times he's been more work than walk, Jesus became one with you. My fellow church members, for the time your connection to God has been more like the occasional long-distance call or texting to someone who's sitting in the very same room, he took on flesh for you. He took on the guilt of your sin and made it his own. He took on the punishment that we rightly deserve. He took our place on the tree and in the tomb, and through that has set us free and connected us to our God deeply. And by faith, personally. But those who are not connected to him in faith, they're disconnected from divine reality. Those who are not connected to him by faith, they're adrift spiritually. They're untethered from eternity. So it's a good thing Jesus' prayer has one more thing. Verse 18 and 19. Jesus said, Father, I'm sending them into the world just as you sent me. Why did Jesus get sent into the world? To connect us to God personally, to connect us to one another. Jesus is sending you to do what? To connect to others, to connect them to his body, and more importantly, to connect them to him. And I am convinced that we connect more to the people who heard these words originally prayed than probably the last 15 centuries of Christianity, of Christendom in the West at least, when pretty much the West for many, 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 many generations thought about getting sent, we thought about money and missionaries. Be done over there. Why? Well, because over here the church could just simply wait and welcome. Eventually everyone's going to show up. It's a Christianized culture, Judeo-Christian reality, right? Those days are gone with landlines and long-distance fees. And we live in a world where there's quite simply a lot of people who are connected intimately to everything, but not to God at all. And he is sending us into the world to connect to them, to connect them one to another, and to connect them to him. And that's not just what your pastor's saying. That's what your master is praying in the very last prayer he spoke. So may we be the answer to that prayer, to the glory of his holy name. Amen.